Brother Bob, in his announcements, informed us that on the 29th, we will be celebrating Youth Day, day in which our youth will be in charge of the worship service. They will do the declaration, the prayer. They'll lead us in songs of worship, the message, the preaching of the gospel will be by one of our youth. I think it's important that every church do what it can to prepare the next generation. It's important that somebody be ready to take your place and my place when God calls us off the scene. And so I'm thankful for our youth. We pray for youth. We pray for young people. And God has given us a great harvest of young folks, full of energy, full of ideas, sometimes full of themselves. But we thank God for them. We thank God for them. In light of that, I want to spend some time this morning talking to the parents and the grandparents and the youth leaders and the Sunday school teachers and the church members of the young people who's going to be leading us in worship on the 29th. So take your Bibles, if you will, and open with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Don't have a long message this morning. We should be finished in hour and a half anyway.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 6. We must be concerned about the next generation. Amen. We got to have a heart for those who are going to follow us. Moses, here in Deuteronomy 6, is speaking to the parents and the grandparents of the first generation who had come out of Egypt. Moses is instructing them, and what Moses says to the parents, I want you to understand this. Now you got to get this. What Moses says to the parents and the instructions that he gives to the parents also applies to the church. Amen. It also applies to the church, because woe is a church that does not invest in the next generation. Amen. So I want you to listen to what Moses said. I want to preach this morning on this thought. How can we bless the next generation? How can we bless the next generation? I want to preach from verse 1 through verse 25, but I want to read verse 1 through 9, and then you can sit down. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God, commanded to teach you, that you may do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you. You and your son and your son's son, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel. Hear therefore, O solid rock, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of our fathers have promised us, in the land that flow with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And verse 9 says, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. Father, thank you for this time of worship. And I just humbly and simply pray that you would speak to us in such a way that all of us will be able to understand it. And Father, live it out in our daily lives. Bless us now, Lord, that we may be able to bless thee in days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me start this morning by saying that being a parent and being a Christian comes with some wonderful privileges. They are glorious privileges. But I think all of us know that with privilege comes responsibility. In both cases, both the parent as well as the Christian has been called and equipped and commanded by God to impact the next generation. God's called us to do it. God's commanded us that we are to live in such a way that it would encourage the next generation to follow Jesus Christ. We have the responsibility. We have the responsibility to train them, to teach them, to be a living example to them of what it means and what it looks like to be a sold out person for Jesus Christ. The youth of our day is hurting. The young people of our day is in serious spiritual trouble. For many of them, they have no direction in life. For many of them, they're in a hurry going nowhere. Amen. For many of them, they are discouraged and they are disappointed and disillusioned with life. And part of the blame falls on the parent and the church. Amen. Come on, talk back to me if you can. We owe it to them. Listen, we owe it to them to bless them. We owe it to them to set them an example of what real godly fear looks like. And unfortunately, for many of them, they don't see it at home, and they get just a small glimpse of it when they come to church. Amen. The next generation needs, listen, they need us. They need us to bless them. Amen. And listen, really, the only way we can really bless them whereby it will have an eternal impact on their lives is to be a living, breathing demonstration and example of a person who's in love with God. Moses, in this text, Moses is talking to the nation of Israel, and he's trying to help the old folks and prepare them so that they can help the young folks. He's instructing them. He's giving them words of counsel that they were to receive and live out in their daily lives, and then they were to teach it to the young generation. And I can almost just hear Moses saying through these words, they need you to bless them. They need you to help them know how to live a victorious life. Now listen, folks. If they don't learn it at home and they don't learn it at the church, they're not going to learn it in the streets. Four things that I want to lay on your heart this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost will engrave them upon the tablets of our hearts. Moses said you need to bless them. Amen. But listen, for all of us who are parents, for all of us who are grandparents, for all of us who are Christians, and God has blessed Solid Rock Church with many young people going in and out of these doors. Listen, he did not give them up to us for us to ruin them. He did not give them to us for us to spoil them. He did not give them to us for us to ignore them. He did not give them to us for us to mistreat them. He gave them to us for us to train them, to equip them, to prepare them to take our place. Four things I want you to see this morning. If we're gonna help the next generation, if we're gonna be a blessing to them, the first thing that I wanna say to you this morning, listen, is that if we're gonna bless the next generation, we must demonstrate to them what loving God looks like by obeying his word. Y'all can sit there like I ain't here, but this is all I got, and I ain't going nowhere. They need to see. They need a demonstration from mom and dad, from pastor and deacon, from youth leaders and Sunday school teachers. They need a living demonstration of what loving God looks like through obeying his word. Listen what Moses says in verse 4 and 5. Or 5 and 6. Listen, go with me to verse 5 and 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Moses said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might." Now let me ask you a question. Do your children know you love God? Do your grandchildren know that you love God? Listen, is there any evidence that they can put their hands on that mama love God? Is there any evidence that they can put their hands on that daddy is a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? Amen. Listen, children are smarter than we give them credit for. They believe none of what we say and very little of what they see from us. Amen. Listen, they want to see something. That they want some evidence that, listen, that my daddy, my mama is really a God follower. Yeah. Moses said, because he's talking to parents. He's talking to grandparents. Yes, sir. Amen. Listen, he's talking to pastors. He's talking to deacons. He's talking to church members. He said, if you want to impact the next generation, if you want to bless them, if you want to help them, listen, they need to see a demonstration of somebody loving God, not just with their lips, but with their actions. Now, let me tell you something that happens at home, and it also happens at the church. We preach one thing, but we live a different sermon. Amen. Listen, sooner or later, you and me, mom and dad, granddaddy and grandmama, pastor and preacher and deacons have got to start living what we preach. Amen. Amen. Most said they need to see somebody that love the Lord. Listen, they need to see somebody that love the Lord. Listen, do your children know that you love God by the way you give? Do your children know that you love God by the way you pray? Listen, can your children look at how you attend church and your attitude toward worship and tell whether or not you love God? Down there with a bone, it ain't her. Listen. We need to give them a demonstration of what loving God looks like by obeying his word, by living out his word. Listen, Moses says it right here in verse 5 and 6. Listen, he said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Then somebody in the crowd would say, Moses, listen, nobody can look at my heart. Nobody can look at my mind. No, nobody can look at my might and see how much I love God. And Moses, yeah, that's true. Said, but they will see it if you obey his word. Listen. If you listen, say amen. Because some of y'all ain't breathed since I started. Listen. Don't tell me that you love God and you continually live in disobedience to his word. Whether it's Anthony Bledsoe or Solid Rock. When you love God, there is a desire in your heart to obey God. Amen. It don't mean that you're perfect. It don't mean that you don't fall. It don't mean that you don't sin. But listen, your desire, your intent, your goal, your aim is to live every day in the center of God's will. Listen, let me talk to you about this real quick. Why is it that obeying God is so important? Listen, why is it that our children need to learn from us and from our example that obeying God is a number one priority in this life? I want to show you two scriptures. I want you to turn first with me to Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. When you get to the book of Joshua, listen, Moses is dead. That great leader for over 40 years has gone off the scene. And Joshua has taken over as the leader in Israel. When Moses dies, God meets with Joshua. Chapter 1 records the meeting and the words that God spoke unto Joshua. I want you to look with me in verse number 8. Because here's what God leaves him with. God said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now here it is. Watch this. Here's the reason. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Listen, the reason why we need to teach our children by our example that obeying God, keeping God's word, living in the center of God's will is so important is because it is the only sure way to live a successful life. Amen. Amen. God said, Moses, God said, Joshua, he said, listen, if you want to be successful, listen, if you want to come to the end of your life and don't look back with a bunch of regret, don't look back with a bunch of sorrow and sadness, but look back and say, God, I thank you that you brought me in this direction. He said, you need to obey my word. You need to obey my word. And our children need to see it from us. Listen, we got no right to teach a Sunday school class and tell them to obey God's word when we're not trying to obey God's word. I got no right as a pastor to stand up here and tell you to obey God's word if I have no intention of obeying God's word. Number one, it's the only sure way of success. But let me show you something else. Go with me to Luke chapter 8. Look at Luke chapter 8. I want you to look at verse 19 of Luke chapter 8. Then came to him his mother and his brethren and could not come at him for the press. Now, in other words, Jesus is preaching. Jesus is preaching. And there's a great crowd around. And his family, his mom and his brothers come to see him. But they can't get to him because of the crowd. Verse 20 says, and it was told him by certain which said, your mother and your brethren stand without, desiring to see you. And I want you to look at how Jesus replied. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are they which hear the word of God and do it. You know what Jesus is teaching here? Jesus is teaching here that, listen, that the evidence that you are a born again child of God who is following the will of God is that you will hear his word and you will do his word. Amen. Now, let me tell you what we've done in the church, and I'm just about finished. We've lived ungodly lives. Ain't nobody said nothing. Amen. We've done it our way, and nobody said anything. The generation that's following us have seen us do it our way, and now they doing it their way, and they in a mess, and they won't listen to us because when we try to talk to them about doing it their way, they say, well, you did it your way. Jesus said, look, I want you to look at verse 21. I want you to look at verse 21, because look, here's the truth that we gotta face, okay? Are you with me? And now listen, if you're still here right now, just wave at me like it's right here. Listen, here's the truth that we gotta face. The truth is that not everybody who calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. Now, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but listen, there are some people who are wearing the name of Christianity, they have not been born again, and the evidence that they've not been born again is because they have no desire in their heart at all to live life God's way. Can I tell you something that I know for myself? Anthony the Blessed Soul know this. He may not know much, but he know this. When you get born again, there's a change made in your heart. Amen. You don't have to apply for it. You don't have to ask for it. Listen, when Jesus Christ becomes the Lord of your life and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, there is a change in your life. Amen. You may fall, but you won't walk. That's right. You may, listen, you may be in the pig pen, but you won't stay there. There's something on the inside of you that continually tells you that this is not the life you're supposed to be living. Am I the only one? Jesus said, listen, the evidence that you are my brother and my sister is that you have a desire to do God's will. You hear the word, and you do the word. Do you know? Do you know there are folks that have left the church because the preacher preached the truth?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, not everybody that's gone from solid rock.
Come on, say it. Yes, Lord.
Is gone for a good reason.
Come on.
So some are gone because they heard the truth, they didn't like the truth, they weren't ready for the truth, and rather than deal with the truth, they'll just leave. Lord, help me. I feel like I'm by myself today. Help me, Lord. Go back to Deuteronomy with me. Go back to Deuteronomy. Number one, how can we bless the next generation? Let me ask you a question. How many parents do we have in here? How many grandparents? How many born-again Christians? Here's the question. How can we bless the next generation? Number one, by giving them a demonstration of loving God by obeying his word. But now here's the second thing, real quick. Second thing that, Moses said. Look in verse 7 with me. Moses said, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. I underline the word diligently. It means to sharpen. Listen, that word in the original means to pierce. And what Moses is saying, listen, we are to pierce them with the sharp word of God. Did you know that the word of God is the only thing that you can get cut with that's no danger of killing you? Listen, Moses said, listen, we are to teach them diligently unto our children. And he's talking about the word of God. He's talking about the commandments of the Lord. Listen, here's the second point I want to lay on your heart. And that is, we need to get serious about teaching them the truth of God. Let me ask you a question. How much time did you and your family spend in the word of God this week? When was the last time you got little Johnny and little Susie on your knee and read them the word of God? When was the last time you set your teenager down whose hormones is running wild, who got their own ideas about how life is supposed to be lived, who's aiming at fulfilling their goals rather than God's goal? When was the last time you set them down and you told them what does say the Lord about sexual immorality? Lord, help us. We're living in a time when babies are getting pregnant. Babies are having babies. And it's because the church don't preach on it and the parents don't talk about it. Moses, listen to what Moses said in verse 7. Moses said, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. You need to talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lay down and when you rise up. He said in verse 9, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontless between your eyes. Folks, if we're going to help the next generation, if we're going to be a blessing to them, I'm telling you, we got to get them off Facebook. And we got to get them in this book. Amen. Listen, we got to get them away from Hollywood and get them hooked up with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, we're losing them. We're losing it, and we're blaming them when really the problem lies with us. Something wrong. Listen, something wrong. When a child grew up in a Christian home and he know more about his favorite actor in Hollywood than he do about the Savior who died for him. Amen. Moses said we need to teach it diligently to our children. We need to get serious. Listen to me. As a church and as parents, we need to get serious about teaching the unadulterated, uncompromised Word of God. Word is the only thing that changes people's lives. The Word of God is the only hope that this lost world have. And I'm telling you, listen to me, like it or not, the Word of God is the only hope that your children got. Amen. I'm telling you, unless you get them centered and founded on the Word of God, they are prey to this world and they are easy target for the devil. Here's the third thing. Here's the third thing. If parents and Christians are going to be a blessing to the next generation, we must not allow the blessings of God to take the place of God. I want you to look with me in verse 10 through 12. Listen to what Moses says. Moses, You come into some blessings. So God's about to bring you into the promised land. So man, so you're going to move into houses that you didn't build. You're going to drink from wells that you didn't dig. You're going to eat from vineyards that you didn't plant. You're going to drive cars that you didn't pay for. Amen. Listen, you're going to live in houses that you didn't build. I want you to notice in verse 10, Moses said, and it shall be when the Lord your God shall have brought you. Now, Moses said that for a reason, Steve, because Moses wanted them to understand that every blessing that you lay your hand on, every good thing that come in your life, it came by the grace of God.
Amen. That's right.
Did you know that the car that you drive belongs to God?
Amen. That's right.
Did you know that the money in your bank account is really God's money? It just got your name on it.
Yeah.
He can get it back anytime he want it. Listen, every good thing in your life belongs to God. Now, Moses, listen, God's going to bring you into some blessing that you don't deserve. Listen, you're going to stop eating leftovers and leftbacks, and you're going to eat fresh food. Listen, and you're going to have more than enough. He said, well, look, do me a favor. He said, when you get out of poverty into prosperity. Listen, when you step out of leanness into fatness. When you move out of that season where you got more month than you got money and move into that season where you got more money than you got month, don't forget who it was that brought you. Don't forget how you got out of Egypt. Listen, and what happens a lot of times in the Christian world, you know what I'm about to say, don't you?
Amen.
Listen, we go from being broke to having change we just lay around. I'm telling you, listen, we go from wearing rags to wearing suits. We go from walking to driving nice vehicles. And as soon as we get blessed, we trade the blessings in for the God who blessed us. That's pretty good preaching right there, I'm telling you. That there are some folks that's not at church this Sunday morning. And it's not because they're sick. It's not because they had to work or they lost their job. It's because God gave them a bass boat that they were supposed to drive Saturday through Monday, but they've taken Sunday. Come on, talk back to me if you can. Amen. And what we do, listen to me, even as believers, we pray and we ask God, Lord, let me get that job. Lord, let me move in that house. I've been living in a shack all my life. Just let me move in that nice house. And we move in that nice house and we trade God's house in for that house. Amen. Look, listen what he said. Watch this. Look at verse 10 through verse 12. I got one more and I'm going to go home. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God have brought thee into the land which he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities that you didn't build, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells deep which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which you planted not, when thou hast eaten and be full. Here's the warning. Here's the warning. Beware. You know why he put that beware in there? Because Moses knew that the danger of any of us can forget God. He said, listen, beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Look, because y'all think I'm fussing, but I'm not. I'm really not. Our children need to know that we love God more than we love God's stuff. Amen. Amen. Lord, help us. There are some of us. There's some of us come here broke this morning. But if we ever get some money in our pocket, we won't be back till we're broke again. I've been hanging out with church folk for 35 years. I know us, Jason. I know how we are. Here's my last little point, and we'll be through. And this is important. Listen, here's the final one. I want you to look with me in verse 20 through verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20 through verse 25. And when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God have commanded you? In other words, when your children ask you, why is this book so important to you? Why are you always in this book? Every time I see you, Daddy, you reading this book. I catch Mama sometime in the kitchen. She sitting at the kitchen table. She reading this book and she just crying. Why is this book so important? Listen, verse 21. Then thou shalt say unto your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all the household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. Now here it is, verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. Do you see that? Listen, he said, it's for our good. It's for our good. Now listen, and I'm through. If we're going to help the next generation, if we're going to be a blessing to them, we got to help them understand that obeying God is for our good. Do you know that whether you obey God or disobey God, God's still going to be God?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, but when we obey God and when we teach our children to obey God and follow God, listen, it's for their good. Listen, it's for their well-being. It's for their safety. Moses said, listen, you tell your children, the reason why this book is so important, the reason why the word of God is so important, listen, is for our good. God wants to bless us. God wants to bless this church. God wants to bless your house. God wants to bless your children. But I'm going to tell you something that Dr. Adrian Rogers taught me a long time ago. Wake up, because you need to take this with you.
Amen.
God does not reward rebellion.
That's right.
Do you hear me? God does not reward rebellion. And for some of our children, they're in rebellion against God because they learned it from us.
That's right. Yes, sir.
They got habits and lifestyles in their life right now because they learned it from us. And this morning, I hear the Spirit of God calling both the parent and the church to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, did you hear me? Mm-hmm. Both the parent and the church. Mm-hmm. God said, listen, there ain't but one way we can fix this. And that's through repentance. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. He said, then will I hear from heaven and then I will heal the land. Maybe your land need to be healed this morning.
Yes, sir.
Amen. God said it can happen. But from the pulpit to the back door, it requires a broken and a contrite heart. God said, if you repent and confess, I'll forgive and heal. You stand with me this morning.